How's everybody doing this morning? Looks like we only got about one more Sunday left of the series. We started back in February, so we're about 4 months into it. I'm looking to do the next series of lessons to do after we give you all a little bit of break of me, is do the study of Acts, the first century church. Lead right into Christ's life, right into the first century church, which I think would be a good follow point. This morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about what happened when Christ went and prayed in the garden. You know, I started out reading this and studying this and going, okay, I've read it multiple times. We're just to lay the groundwork. You know, Jesus just washes the disciples' feet. They just had the feast, and he told them, do this in remembrance of me, and he washed their feet as an example to them. And so all this is getting ready to be right before his trial. We talked about it this morning, about his trial that he went through this morning. We talked about all that. He knowing that's coming, he knowing the cross is coming. You know, and what does Jesus do before he goes to the garden? You know, I found this in when I was reading over a couple years ago and brought it up at the Lord's Supper, because I never really read this, not realizing that he was getting ready to be crucified. We're talking about into Thursday, into Friday. Friday, the day he's going to get crucified. What does he do? And they went out and had sung a hymn. And they went out to the Mount of Olives. He's singing praises. You know, I was studying this a little bit further as we would, as I was doing my studies. Back then, their songs were from the scriptures. They sang the scriptures back then. We really don't know what they sang that I know of, and I may be wrong. But I went through the Psalms. In Psalms 116, starting in verse 13, I'll read it to you because this is written in my notes. I don't even have it as a slide. That's how that I was continue to study. Written in my notes, Psalm 116, starting verse 13. I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill your woes to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Presented in the sight of the Lord is the death of the faithful servant. Truly, I am your faithful servant. And I read that, and how that describes about what he's getting ready to go through. That could have been a song they sang, but to me, knowing my Lord, it was probably a song of praise that was read earlier. This is the one, if y'all can see that with the lighting, was read earlier. And I like the reading of the read earlier because it says his mercy endures forever. The NIV says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his love endures forever. To him who all does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Yeah, I can imagine Jesus singing praises to his Father, knowing that he's getting ready to go through, and he still took the time to sing praises to him. I can't imagine me being able to do that. Now, Jesus is getting ready to go to the garden to pray. We talked about it this morning, that's how Judas betrayed him, because he knew there was a place that he went often, a place that he probably went and prayed often, to get away from everything, just a nice, quiet, beautiful place to pray. But this one's different. This one's different in so many ways. You know, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 through 38 tells us this. Then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be in sorrow and trouble. You know, this is what one of the things I want to focus on, is Jesus was definitely in so much sorrow and trouble. He said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me." Basically, he's telling the disciples, come with me and stay with me. Support me. Give me the strength that I need because I'm getting ready to go through so much. You know, in Matthew verse 39, it tells us this. And this is the verse that a lot of us remember when we talk about the Lord in the garden and is praying. He says, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." He said, if there's anything possible, take this cup away from me. And then as we read on, he goes back to his disciples to check on them. And he tells them in Matthew 26, verse 41, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall in temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." You know, Jesus goes back to him a third time and finds them sleeping, and he doesn't even wake them up that time. So he goes prays three times throughout the night. He's praying. You know, what I want us to do this morning is focus on what is Jesus' prayer that we're told about in John chapter 17 this morning. Because when I started studying this is when my whole perspective changed about this moment, is out of John 17, because he goes into so much detail about his prayer. Jesus prays for himself, but you see that it's very short about himself. Jesus prays for his disciples, and Jesus prays for us. So, like I told you in class today, be over in John chapter 17, because I'm going to do a lot of reading, and bear with me, I'm going to do a lot of reading out of John chapter 17 this morning. You know, Jesus starts off praying about his disciples. Jesus spoke these words, lifting up his eyes to heaven, saying, "Father, the hour has come." He started praying about himself and the Father at the beginning. But listen to what he says in this. Let me say it again. Jesus spoke to these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you." Let's look at this again and read on through it, because there's some awesome things that I want to point out. In chapter 17, starting back with verse 1, I want to read it again. After Jesus said this, he looked up towards heaven and prayed. I can imagine Jesus looking up and just having that moment with his Father, intense moment with his Father, as you'll see here as we go on. "For the Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son." Why? "That your Son may glorify you. I'm doing this for you, Father. For you have gained me authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those who have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, the Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I have with you before the world began." Jesus saying, "Look, Lord, you sent me in here to do a mission. And I hope and pray that I was glorified, but you were glorified." That Jesus focused on his Father at that moment. "I wanted to make you proud of what I've done while I'm here on earth. I was with you in the beginning, and now you sent me here on earth, and I want you to be glorified." I read that and see that where Jesus is taking no credit whatsoever for what's happening. He gives all credit to his Father. even though that he's going to have to die on the cross and suffer a painful death, he focuses on his Father. Lord, may you be glorified in all of this. And his other prayer that he prays is about his disciples. Once I read this, I was just blown away when I really focused on what this prayer was truly about. Starting in verse 6, and I want y'all to read with me. I have revealed to you those whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. He doesn't even give credit for the disciples. He gives it to his Father. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. And now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. Remember we talked about in class this morning, the disciples start getting it? This is where Jesus recognizes that his disciples are starting to understand. They understand that everything's not me, it's my Father. For I have given them the word you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you. See the passion? Can you read it? I can only imagine. He's praying with all his heart and all his might. See the certainty that they came, that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them, and I'm not praying for the world. I'm not praying for anybody else right now. I'm praying for my disciples. It is what he's saying. But those you've given me, for they are yours, and I have is yours, and all I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And the glory has come to me through them. And I will remain in the world no longer. But they are still in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. You know what he's saying here? I'm getting ready to leave. And the Lord knows that they got a tough road ahead of them. But I have to lead them back. And he says that, let's see if I find it again and say it. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I've come to you. I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by your power of your name, the name you've given me, so that they may be one as well are one. They may be one as we are one. The coming together. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except one doomed to destruction, so the scriptures will be fulfilled. Verse 13, and I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy with them. I have given them your world, and the world has hated them, for they are not of this world any more than I am of this world. What did he just say? He said they're just passing through now. They get it. They understand. It's not about this world. They're just passing through, just like I am not of this world. They're not of this world. You know, I have to stop here for a moment. You know, I see pride in my Savior's face and the heart and his word of his disciples, the work that they're doing and they're going to do. And he's sharing it with his Father and saying, look at what they're doing and what they've done and what they're going to do. And I pray for their protections. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. And you send me into the world, and I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. The Lord is so proud of his disciples. He's spending this time, the last moment, he's been trying to tell them and teach them every possible thing. But his fervent prayer was about his disciples and their work. That, Lord, please, Father, please protect them while they're here on earth. I gotta leave. That comes into play. That comes into huge play from what my perspective changed. I told you this morning my perspective is going to change about the moment in the garden. But this is where it starts to change. How much that Christ prayed, how much detail was put in scriptures about what he prayed about his disciples. But that's not the only person he prayed about. He also prayed about us. Jesus prayed for all the believers. I do not pray for these alone. And we'll read that again in a moment. But also for those who will believe in me through their word. My prayer is not for them alone. He says, all right, I pray for the disciples. They meant so much to me. They mean so much to me. But I'm not just praying for them, Lord. I'm not just praying for them. He says, I also pray for those who believe in me, though they're through their message, that all of them may be one. One accord. One accord. Remember that. The Father, just as you are in me, I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You realize what that says? Christ living in us will change the world. Christ living in us is where we're going to make the difference. The way we live our lives is the way we're going to make the difference. And we need to understand that. And that's Christ was praying for that at that very moment. He was praying that we'll be unified. Just like he prayed for the disciples to be unified. I have given them the glory that ye gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity. To let the world know that you sent me, and have loved them even as you have loved me. That's amazing. The love of the Father. It says, in going on in verse 24 through 26, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. All Jesus is want is all of us together with him. For him to pray that, it says, all I want, Father, is them all with me. That's what I want. And I think in Jesus' mindset that he wanted to say, that's one of the things, if this thing could pass, why don't we just gather them all up together now, if that's possible. Grab all the ones from the past and all the ones from the now and all the ones from the future. And let's just take them home. Because he's built a relationship like none other. I just want, that's what he wants. Give me to be with me where I am. And to see my glory. And have made you known to them. And will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them. And that I myself may be in them. Unity. You know, Jerry said it so well a few months ago when he was right up here doing the Lord's Supper, when he talked about Christ being on the cross. And he made that statement. He said he had you on his mind. He had you on his mind. But when we look at the garden, you know what I see? Yes, I see Edge Hill Church of Christ on his mind. I see us, me on his mind. And I know that Jesus knew who I was back then. And I know he knew who Edge Hill Church of Christ was back then. Knowing that we're going to have a difficult time. That the world's going to hate us just like they hate the disciples and just like they hate him. For us to be unified together, realizing this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. But to imagine in that garden. He wasn't praying, Lord, nonstop about relieve this cup if it can be. That's not what he was talking about. And he was talking about it with so much heart and strength. He had everything into him. Why do I say that? He was praying so intent that his Father, and Luke 22 tells us, and 43 tells us, and there appeared an angel to him to strengthen him. You know, for him to be so prayed in depth, that the Heavenly Father sent down an angel. And what was he praying about? He was praying about each and every one of us. He was praying about his disciples to make sure the work gets done through them, that they're protected. I was able to protect them. Now I got to go. That's the emotion that was in Jesus, that he was intensely praying about us, not about himself. So often we go back to that other scripture that I read, and we focus on that, that if this cup could pass, if this cup would pass, a blip about everything that was just prayed about for hours were about his people, the ones that he loved. So intense that we are told in Luke 22, verse 40, the suffering. He was in such anguish. He prayed so fervently. He talks about it while he was praying, that his sweat became like drops of blood falling on the ground. Why he was praying. We just read what he was praying about, and it was about us and about his disciples. Why he was so intense in his prayer that he was praying about us, that he was worried about us even though he knew he was going to face the cross. This is where my perspective changed. You know, my perspective was that he was focused on the cross. He did all the preparation prior to that. We studied that. On Wednesday, he didn't do nothing. He made sure that he would be well rested, well taken care of to take all the punishment. He knew what he had to go through. You know, this is where my mind can't wrap around. He got the concept, light and momentary. I don't think his anguish was about that cross as much as it was about each and every one of us that are in this room. Because he knew that he would suffer on that cross in his pain. But he knew what was on the other side. On the other side, he'd be back with his Father. But on the other side, we would be on earth struggling. And I believe that's where his anguish came from. He was worried about us. He was focused on us. He was focused on his disciples. He was focused on his Father's will to make sure that got it completed. He knew what the cross was about, but he knew the cost of it if it didn't work. He knew that if Satan would win, what would happen to us? That's what created the sweat like blood. That's what created the Heavenly Father to send an angel down to comfort him, mourning all the ones that he knew would be lost. Because brothers and sisters, Christ knew that there were people who would go to the church and then one day turn their back on him. He lost a loved one. And their name was on his heart. And were on his heart. You know, we talked about this time and time again. This is a love story about us. And when we truly put it in perspective what Christ would do for each and every one of us, how much he's got his heart and soul and mind into us. Brian Baer, like I said, graduated in 1986, Hopewell High School. He was born in 1966. He had my life on his mind right then and there. That's how much love that he had for us. I think if you really understood how deep the Father's love is for us, if you truly understand, your whole life would be dedicated to him. You know, and I'll be honest with you. I'm not there yet. I'm like Peter. We talked about this morning. I'm like Peter. I'm bold when I'm up here with y'all because y'all make me feel comfortable. I'm bold and can preach and teach the word, maybe stumble through my reading a little bit, but I'm bold while I'm up here with y'all. But when I get out in the world sometimes, I look around at the storms and I take my eyes off Jesus and I start to sink. But if we remember that story, when I put my eyes back on Jesus and say, help me, what does he do? He picks us up. And that's what we got to understand. He'll do whatever it takes to make sure that you're okay. Just got to stay focused. To get off track, get back on track and look at God and look at the Heavenly Father and look at Christ and let him pick you back up again. Keep striving to do what is right. You're going to stumble. You're going to fall. But we all are. And remember what was said this morning. If you were in class this morning and so led up to this sermon, it's because we're united as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're united in the message. We stand together for the Heavenly Father. And that's what he prayed in the garden, that we would stay united. To the point he was sweating blood. United. Just keep them united, Lord. Because he knew there were so many would fall away. I don't know what you struggle through in life right now. It seems like everything hits at one time, don't it? And I was dealing with stuff last night and I woke up this morning and wasn't feeling good at all. And I'm dealing with that. It seems like Satan tries to throw them all at one time and see if you can catch it all. I ain't got to catch a thing. My good Lord will catch everything that comes along. We got to stop getting in his way. We got to stop getting in his way. Catch it. So whatever you're struggling with this morning, whatever you're struggling with spiritually, physically, or mentally, get out of the way and let the Lord take care of it. Come up here and let's pray together and let's be united together and pray for one another. Let's strengthen one another. You see how now my perspective of the garden has changed? How much more it was about us than it was the cross. There's a blip about the cross in Christ's prayer. But there's so much about us and about his disciples. I hope this lesson comes to you in a good way. And it did to me this week. It was one of those weeks that I was excited about to be able to come up here and tell you my perspective that I've changed. But I don't know what you're going through. I know we got good people here. We got faithful people here. The righteous man availeth much. And we got some good, righteous men in this church that will pray for you. We have a good church here. It may be short in number, but it's strong in so many other ways. So if there's anything that we can do, let's do it together as we stand and sing.